Thank you so much. So as Chris and I go, one of the things that is going to happen just for you, and so you can be praying, is we land on Wednesday, and immediately they will take us to a church where we'll do some teaching and training. And then starting on Thursday, the next day, is a pastor's conference where 50 to 60 pastors will come together, and we'll be part of that conference and training specifically on discipleship and disciple making and raising up leaders from within. We will then travel to the interior or to the jungle, where we'll travel upriver, and there will be 10 pastors that we will meet with on the river for a couple of days and be a part of that training. And so super excited, definitely humbled. You know, as we'll see in our passage today, Chris and I are completely, and Alex, the other gentleman going, are completely dependent upon the Lord to move in power. The only thing I have to offer is just point them to God's Word and to His Spirit, the power of His Spirit, and thank God, because that's enough. Amen. And so as the Spirit goes before us and is with us, we can trust Him every time, even when He calls us to do things that we have no idea how to or what to say, and we can trust that He will lead us. And so we'll see this in our passage today. And back several weeks ago, we began to look at the church and the Holy Spirit. Who is the church? What is the church? And so we define that. The church is made up of people who are disciples of Jesus, meaning that we are learners. We are followers of Jesus, seeking to become like Him. Not only that, we are people who are filled with His Spirit. In other words, been transformed. This is a divine, miraculous thing in which God does in our lives, where He literally changes us from the inside out, awakens us spiritually to where now we are made new. And by doing this, He even told His disciples in Acts 1:8, He says, "But when the Holy Spirit comes, He will fill you with power." We'll just read it. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." This is the promise of what will happen, that we'll be filled with the Spirit and we will be His witnesses. Like, we will. This is the expectation, is that you and I will be people who proclaim Jesus to people around us. And so the mission that we have as a church is to connect people to Jesus. And we connect people to Jesus by connecting them to His truth, His family, and ultimately His mission. Last week we began to at least talk about some core values as a church. We have this mission, and it is to connect people to Jesus. But as we do that, we need to know how. What are going to be some things that help us in our decision-making as individuals, but also as a church? And that leads us to our core values. And so last week, we looked at live truth. The Holy Spirit in us will always lead us to live out the truth of God's Word. And so we sought to define, well, what is truth? And last week, we looked at, well, Jesus is the truth. He even said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so Jesus is truth, but not only that, the Word of God is truth. And the Word of God being truth, that should be upon our hearts. Like, as people who are followers of Jesus, true disciples should be Word-oriented. Amen? The Word of God should be a part of our lives. This is why it's important that we gather together in times like this and also in small group and personally each day diving into the Word of God to learn it, to seek to know it, to allow it to transform our lives so that we become more like Jesus. Today, we'll look at another core truth or core value, which is depend on God. Today, as we talk about dependence upon God, it has always been the design of God that we depend on Him. We see this back to when He first chose the Israelites. It was always to bring Him glory and to make much of His name. He even says, I love Psalm 23, where it's talking about God being our shepherd. He even says, for His name's sake, like God's name is on the line here. You being one of His child or a child of His name is on the line. And so the ways in which you and I live our lives upon the Word of God, living out the truth, depending upon God, ultimately brings God glory. Because here's what happens. That God would use one of us in this room to do something supernatural. Whether it's someone come to know the Lord, whether it is, man, us just calling to Him and Him being involved in the details of our lives, only God can get the glory of that. Because God would use someone weak and flawed like you and me to do something that can only be explained by Him. And that's what we're praying will happen in Suriname. Next week, Drew will be speaking about loving God and others. When I get back from Suriname, we'll unpack what it looks like and what God has intended for us to make disciples. And then we'll ultimately talk about that we are called as a church and as individuals to prioritize the kingdom of God. Not our own kingdom, but the kingdom of God. And so, I'm super excited as we unpack these. Today, if you would grab your Bibles, open with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Here in 2 Timothy, we actually see all of these values spoken of by Paul. He's encouraging Timothy. Timothy is a leader of a church, and he is encouraging him. Timothy is dealing with some issues along the way, but he has given him great encouragement to do just this, to live out the truths of God's Word. He even tells him that the Word of God, God's Word, is not bound, though he is in jail at this time, talking about Paul himself. And he talks about the need for us to depend upon the Lord and to trust His plan. He points us to love others and ultimately even tells us, gives us a clear picture of discipleship, which we'll see. And ultimately, Paul even says why all of it's worth it. Is because there is a kingdom, the kingdom of God in which we are to point to. Those who will believe because of the message. And so, let's dive in. If you are able to and don't mind, stand with me just as we honor God's word. We'll start in verse 1 of chapter 2. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. I love this. Four generations here of making disciples. What you've heard from me, so Paul telling Timothy, he tells him to entrust to others who will be able to teach others. Four different generations here of making disciples. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound in chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. Father, we are grateful for your word. We ask that today that you would give us a renewed passion, a renewed diligence and intentionality of living out the mission and the calling that you have given us. I pray that we would realize that there is a battle waging all around us and for us. And that, Lord, that we would trust you, that we would enter into the battle with great intentionality and trust and faith in you. So, Lord, help us to depend upon you. We need you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Today, it is my prayer that you and I would recognize the battle. There is a battle that is being waged right now in this room, in your family. Husband and wife, I want to tell you, there's a battle being waged over your family, over your household, over your relationship. There is a battle, and we must recognize it, and we must begin to stand against it. Individuals, there's a battle. There's a battle being waged over your holiness, over sin in your life. And it is one that will require faith as we trust God. In 2 Corinthians 10, Paul says this, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Don't you love that? The promise is that you and I fight and are a part of this battle, not in our own strength or our ability, thank God, because we are weak. But we have this divine power, this power from on high that God has placed in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, and He promises to empower us that we will become overcomers. Now, Paul says it this way, "When I am weak, then I am strong." So there's also this recognition that we in ourselves are weak. But as we learn to rely and abide and trust in Jesus, we will also become victorious. We will become people who are able to live out this life that He has called us to. And so today, we're going to look at what it means to depend on God. And it will require us to abide in Him. One of the things that I've recognized is that if, spiritually speaking, if we retreat, it will only lead to spiritual defeat. The stakes in this spiritual war are eternal. And it's not always just ourselves. So what I mean by that is you may have great confidence and courage in your own walk with the Lord and assurance of that. That's great. But one of the things, if we're not and don't engage in the mission that God has given us, then the people around us will most definitely be affected. You may be, you know, the people group that I will go into the jungle with at Suriname is called the Saramacan. Much like the Tidom, they are considered an unreached people group. The Tidom, there is only, I think it's 0.014%, so like 14% of 1% Christian. Whereas in among the Saramacan, they are about 2%, maybe a little bit under that, Christian. And so, as we go in there, the great hope is that they will begin to trust and hope in Jesus. And there's a battle. There's a battle being waged and a darkness that is felt as you walk into the villages. As they worship these or appease the evil spirits there, there's a battle. And Chris and I will be going, much like the teams before, we'll be going into these villages knowing that these villages have been the territory for the enemy literally for generations. And so the battle is real. And so we must understand that there's a battle. And it's not just being waged for the unreached people groups. It's being waged right here among us. And one of the things that we can see in this battle is we have an enemy who is very smart. And the tactics of our enemy will be things like busyness, distractions, even good things that we would consider not bad in and of themselves, but rob us from being able to trust in the Lord because of the things in which they take from us. And here's the thing, that as we begin to wage this war, if we're not careful, we will just sit back and allow these things to happen. Or, what's worse yet, is we'll allow the next generation just to have completely open access to them, and they themselves are wasting. Did you know, I was talking with a guy the other day, he told me that, you know, for millennials, they'll sleep with the phone like next to their bed on the end table, probably like many of us do here. But did you know that for this younger generation, there are many of them who will literally fall asleep with it in their hand, clutching it. Tell me, though they have a grip on it, tell me it doesn't have a grip on them. What I'm telling you is, and I'm not saying that cell phones in and of themselves are the enemy, but we must stand guard that there are things that will come against us, all who will try to attack our ability to have faith in a God who has divine power, because it will make us busy. It will make us dependent to be somehow connected. It will make us dependent upon other things other than running to God. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." He tells us, he starts off, he says, "Be strengthened." He didn't say, "Be strong in your own might." He says, "No, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Jesus is right here. In his presence, he has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He has promised us strength and power, and so we must run to him. So today, a true disciple, someone who has the Holy Spirit in them, the Holy Spirit in us will remind us and will continually call to us that we have a mission. So a true disciple of Jesus has a mission. You have a mission. And that mission is spelled out very clear in the Word of God. Paul reminded Timothy of it here in verse 2. He says, "And what you have heard from me," and so now Timothy has heard it, "in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." We have a mission. It is to make Christ known to others. When the Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. All throughout, we are told that you are to proclaim the excellencies of Christ. Go and make him known to all nations, right? So you and I, as we go, as we make disciples of all nations, there is a mission. And so we must then begin to ask ourselves the questions. Am I a part of the mission? Have I surrendered to the mission that God has given me? And we're going to unpack this in the weeks to come. But today, what I want you to see is it sounds like too big of a mission. It sounds like, well, I'm not able to do that. I don't have the tools. No one has ever taught me. But I want to tell you, that's the point. The point is you can't. The point is you don't know how. The point is you're going to encounter something that's too costly, or it's going to lead you in a situation like, I have no idea what to do, and you're going to have to do what's been intended from the very beginning, and that's to rely upon the divine power of God. Amen? Do you see that? You've been hearing it all your life. Go, make him known, share the gospel, preach, share, go make all these things. You've heard it your whole Christian life. For whatever reason, maybe it's been too much. Maybe you just don't see yourself as being capable. Maybe you're just fearful. Whatever it is, maybe no one's ever shown you how to do it. I don't know. But what I'm here to tell you is there's meant to be a weight about it. There's meant to be this fear, because it requires you to have a faith in someone beyond yourself. Like, I can't save anybody. That's not my mission, to go save people. No. You and I really have the easiest mission. We just get to tell them. We just get to tell them. And it's good news. Like, that's literally the name. The gospel means good news. Like, so it's like I get to go tell. Don't you love telling people good news? Don't you love when you're like, some of you have taken like vacations or whatever, if your family, your kids, you're like, oh, I want to tell them. You know, no, let's do it together. Okay, let's go together. You know, because you want to tell good news to people. We have good news. So we have a mission. And it's all about relationships. And Paul wanted Timothy to understand this, and I believe us to understand this. So he gave us three metaphors that will help us. And he says, so you have a mission, and so I want you to be a part of this mission like a soldier, like an athlete, and like a hardworking farmer. So let's seek to unpack some of these. So like a soldier. A soldier, first off, I want to tell you, as we've already... We're in wartime right now. Like, there is a battle. This is not peacetime. This is wartime. And so many times, we allow our lives to look like it's peacetime. But it's not. There's a battle. In Ephesians 6, this is where it talks about the armor of God. We don't have time to jump into all of that. But listen to what he says leading up to verse 10 of chapter 6. Says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power," not your own, his mighty power, "put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Isn't that awesome? So what do? You trust in the Lord. And when the enemy comes, you know what you do? You stand strong, not in your own strength, but in the strength that the Lord has given you. And so you trust Him, which means that you know the truth. And the truth becomes the vocabulary that the Holy Spirit brings to your mind. And the Holy Spirit reminds you of the promise of God, that there's nothing that can separate you from it. There's nothing that will be able to, not even the gates of hell will be able to come over the church, right? Like, there's nothing that will stand against us and tear us down. Weapons we fight with are not human, but we're in warfare. We need to understand that. You are a soldier. And he says, like a soldier, we need to have that mindset. So, because I've not been a soldier, I'm going to ask one to come up. James is going to come help me. James has just recently retired after 26 years in the military. And so, James, share with us just a little bit about, share with us just a little bit about your service, maybe rank. I didn't ask you this first time, and I know you wouldn't normally do this, but I also know that you received some accommodations. If you don't mind, I know that's, we would love to hear just about your.
During my time, I did 3 tours to Afghanistan, 2003 to 2004, and 2006, 2007, and 11 and 12. During that time, I received the Bronze Star and the Purple Heart, or some of the accolades I received for that.
Amen. Tell us, as we think about a soldier, here in the scripture, it says that in verse 4, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits. Now, when you were, let's say, on tour over in Afghanistan, why is it so important that you don't get involved in civilian pursuits while you're on the battleground?
Yeah, so I have to be able to trust that everything at home is going well. Because if I'm having to juggle between my current life and death mission, I can't put full focus on that, and I'm halfway over here and halfway over here, then I'm not only jeopardizing myself, but the men and women that are around me. So I have to be able to have that separation, put full faith that what is at home is safe and taken care of, so that I can put full faith and measure into what my mission there is.
So 3 different tours, undoubtedly you came across people who weren't able to do that.
100%.
So tell me a little bit of how that messed with the mission, someone who was divided or distracted from the civilian pursuits versus the mission.
Yeah, so you can definitely tell when someone is not fully engrossed in what they should be doing. They're supposed to be pulling security to watch out for the men and women that are behind them. And you can definitely tell when they are just weighed down by what is going on at home. And we cannot have that. You have to be able to take them out of that scenario, talk with them, encourage them, reassure them that everything at home is going to be fine, and that they need to redirect and completely 100% focus on the mission at hand, because so many lives depend on them.
Here he talks about his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Now, we believe that it is Christ who calls us and, yes, and speaks to us. So talking more closely about the commanding officer and making sure that we are listening and also making sure we're pleasing the commanding officer, why is that important?
So the biggest part of that is me as an individual, I don't get to see the big picture of things. That is for that person, that commanding officer. He gets to take a look at the whole picture and know what's going on. And he knows how to divide that up and give it to each individual so that they can do their part, so the overall success of the whole mission can be successful. So not me taking my piece and not worrying about what you got assigned or what's assigned over here, I can be able to take what belongs to me, solely focus on that, and then drive forward with that, and then let the big picture unfold as necessary. But being able to take what is mine, it's kind of like what you said earlier. You can't have an effect at the whole as much as you would like to, as much as you want to be able to go in and just take it on and make that huge overall difference. You can't do that. That's overwhelming for anybody. So you got to be able to take your piece of it, focus on that, and then allow that higher entity to worry about the bigger picture.
So pretty much what you're saying is be obedient on the day-to-day instead of worrying about the whole picture.
Correct.
Wow, that's powerful. So tell me here where, or at least just explain with us, I would imagine, having not been there, I would imagine as I wake up or you wake up in battle, that there's just a different mindset that you wake up with when you have a battle that day versus waking up here. We have responsibilities, work, different things. But, I mean, you lace up your combat boots. You put on your armor. Mm-hmm. You grab a weapon. I mean, you're ready. You're ready expecting, hey, I may receive fire. So tell me just the mindset difference of knowing there's a battle that day to civilian life that you are now.
Yeah, so the biggest thing from that is I was able to take myself and put my whole focus on that because I knew that my wife had everything at home under control. So I took that and I ran with my mission. And I took that to heart because so many people depended on me. When I came home, I had that same mentality. I'm like, nope, I'm in charge. It's going to go the way I want it to. So I would come in and be like,
how does that work with a household of three women? I just want to know, huh? How did that work out?
You get put in your place really quickly. And not just at home, but when you go to work as well. You expect things to be done your way because you've done it for so long that when I speak, my law, that's my rules, you will adhere to what I say, and you do it in a manner that is very stern.
Yeah.
When you do that with your wife, you get it reciprocated back in a manner that you knew you messed up.
Yeah, that's right. You don't have to guess.
Right. Yeah. So the tail goes between the legs really quick. I go to my corner.
Yeah.
Right. So having to have a relationship that where you can realize that no, you are not, this is a shared relationship, this is something that we are going to work through, you are no longer that person, and that takes sometimes years to overcome.
So I didn't ask you this earlier, but tell me, as a believer now, knowing that you have a new mission, taking what you've experienced as a soldier, what do you think? How do you think we should, if we're to have this picture, how should a believer wake up each day knowing that there's a battle? What should that mindset look like?
So when I first started doing mission work, I took that on as I was a lot younger. So I took that on as, man, here's this entire mission that I have to take on. And that seems like an overwhelming responsibility. But you look at it as though somebody has to do it. It's what we're called to do. I'm going to take it on. And you come at that running full force, and you try to take all of that on at once. And nobody can do that.
Right.
It's impossible. Just like you said a minute ago, it is impossible to do that. So as I've matured and as I've left the military, I've been able to look at it and know, no, my slice of this pie is this here. I can focus on that, and I will do the best I can with this portion here, and I have to just trust in God that the rest of this is going to work out, and it does.
Amen.
So you just have to have faith in the Lord that He will take care of the rest of that. Worry about what you can impact, whether that's going out and engaging with people, if that's going out and building buildings, if that's just engaging with one another and encouraging one another, going out and supporting other Christians in their in their journey. Just focus on your one little piece and don't be overwhelmed. And you will be successful because that's God's intention.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your service. Appreciate you, brother.
Love you, brother.
Thank you. So he talks about a soldier and just giving some characteristics of a soldier: obedient, faithful, strategic, intentional, active, ready. What would be some other characteristics that you would give of a soldier that we can add to that list? Anybody?
Vigilant.
Loyal, vigilant. What else?
Prepared.
I. What is it?
Selfless.
That's right. And so when you think of Paul using this picture like a soldier, As we follow Jesus, we should be selfless, willing to sacrifice. I think about the sacrifices that James has had to make away from his family. He mentioned three different tours. One of them was 2 years long. When you think about the sacrifices that we made, he didn't mention it, but he's been shot. He's been blown up. He now has parts of his body that don't work as they did before. And so what I'm telling you is there are sacrifices. And I would tell you is you can go and have conversations with James one-on-one. He says it's worth it. Why? Because there was a mission. And he understood the mission. And he believed in the mission. Do you? As a follower of Christ, do you believe in the mission that God has given us? Are the sacrifices worth it? And there are sacrifices. There are going to be sacrifices. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you finances. It's going to cost you, here he says, suffer like a good soldier. Suffer like a good soldier. So it's going to cost, like he's promising, suffering. It's going to. It's going to be hard. There's going to be days you don't know why you're doing it. There's going to be days you want to throw in the towel. But you suffer like a good soldier because the mission is worth it. Your commanding officer has called you to it. You just ask for grace for the next 15 minutes. And then the next 15 minutes. And you trust him. Not only like a soldier, but like an athlete. I really thought about who I could call up here about an athlete. You know, someone in the first service said, just call a random person who you know is not athletic. I would not do that to you. But to think about an athlete, you just think about their train. They prepare. There's a race marked out for them. They can't, even as he talks about, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. There is a specific race. You can't, there's no shortcuts, right? But you see this training that is involved. They're consistent. They're diligent. There's training. And so as we look at, we see that Paul used that often. We see in his writings, run in such a way to win. Takes perseverance. He says here, I'm most gladly, I spend and be spent for your souls, is what Paul said. Not only like an athlete, but like a hardworking farmer. I have great respect for farmers. I plants come to our house to die. And so we've tried gardens every place we lived. And I just keep blaming it on the soil. The soil's the problem, right? But it just doesn't work. But farmers have this ability to plant and sow in the faith that they have, right? They call or trust the Lord or depend upon him to bring the rain. They trust in the Lord. And yes, there's mending and pruning and all the things that go with it. But like a hardworking farmer, it's hard work. It takes diligence. You got to work the ground. Sometimes it takes a long time to see any fruit at all. And much in the same way, maybe God is leading you just to work the ground. Maybe God is leading you to be the sower, where you get to scatter the seed. Maybe you're part of the harvest and you get to be a part of that. Man, what a great thing to get to be a part of. But like a farmer, it's hard work. It's mundane. There's no name and lights of any farmers, right? So when you think of a farmer, some characteristics are, depends upon God, hardworking, obedient, diligent. They get up early. These are some things you think of on a farmer. The mission is costly, and it's going to cost. And so what makes it worth the cost? Look at verse 8 with me. He tells us here to remember Jesus Christ. We're getting ready to remember Jesus as we take communion, the Lord's Supper, here in a minute. But we remember him. We remember what he's done. We remember the price that has been paid. We remember that he sacrificed, right? And if they hated him, they're going to hate us. Risen from the dead, he is victorious, and he has called us to be victorious. The offspring of David, the promised Messiah to come, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound and in chains. But then, what a great promise. But the word of God is not bound. The word of God is living, active, sharper than a double-edged sword. Listen, when we proclaim the gospel, people hear it. And some who hear will believe. And those who believe will call upon the name of the Lord. And everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord is saved. So, we are proclaimers. We trust the word of God. We trust that it does its work. It is not bound. Some great promises here. He says, therefore, I endure everything. Why? for the sake of the elect or those who will believe, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. In other words, he's saying, I will endure all of this. Why? Because there is eternity at stake. There are some who are going to believe. There are some in which God will speak to their heart and they will surrender their lives to the Lord. And when they do, listen, I will endure all these things, Paul's saying. I'll go to prison. I'll be bound. Ultimately, it will cost him his life. He's saying all of it's worth it. And so, what could the call be and look like for you? Maybe it means that you lay down pride. Maybe it means that you are ridiculed. Maybe it means that you step out in faith, not knowing what will happen. We as Christians have got to learn that the call or the mission will always be outside of security and comfort. It will always be outside of security and comfort. And so we trust him. It's worth it. The way of application will be done. Will you ready yourself for the mission? Will you ready yourself? Well, I think of a soldier who he's prepared. He laces up. He puts on his armor. He grabs his weapon. He's ready for the battle of the day. So you and I must ready ourselves. Maybe it's training. If you don't know how to share the gospel, listen, we live in a day of technology, but also in a day of resources. Like there should be, if you have a question of the Word of God, you can pull it up and find that question real quick. If you want to go to YouTube, how to share the gospel, listen, there's no excuses anymore. We have it all. Like you can train yourself. If you need training, I will gladly walk with you. You can go with me. Let's go. But we've got to be ready for the mission. Will you trust in God for his divine power? Not your own, but yours. All right, God, here's the mission. I trust you. I'm going to need your power, but I trust you. Let's go. Will you remember Jesus and abide in him? Remember the price that he has paid. Remember that he has set you free. Remember that he's right there with you. The Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And then the greatest encouragement that he could give, and I will be with you to the end of the age. Today, will you say yes to Jesus? Maybe you're here and you would say, well, I don't know that I could call myself a disciple. I don't know that I could call myself filled with the Spirit of God. I want to tell you, remember Jesus. Look to him. Say yes to him. He loved you so much that he came, died upon the cross to pay the price that you deserve. And he tells us that if we will believe in him, that we will be forgiven of our sin, we'll have eternal life with him, we'll be made new. He will place himself in us through the power of the Holy Spirit and lead us and guide us. Will you say yes to Jesus? Will you trust him? Will you obey him? Let's bow before the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for this time that we have been able to learn from your word, and we just ask, Lord, that you would empower us. Help us to be reminded that you have all power and authority, regardless of what it may cost, even our lives, Lord, it is worth it as we obey you and trust you. Lead us, Lord. Give us great courage and strength to fulfill the mission that you have given us. We thank you for how you are right here with us. As you are spending time with the Lord, he challenges us to examine ourselves, especially as we come to a time of remembrance, a time of worship in the Lord's Supper. And so examine. Examine your life. Do you know him? Have you surrendered to him? Maybe spend some time confessing to him things that you have done, maybe even being sidelined, or maybe you've not viewed your mission as a soldier or an athlete, hardworking farmer. In this moment, come before the Lord. Remember him and what he has done. If you are going to come and help us with the Lord's Supper, if you guys would, go ahead and make your way forward.